morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to our assembly. Thank you for being here. Sun's even starting to shine. What a wonderful, beautiful day. We've had some good news this morning. Cece is able to be with us and is doing much better than they had expected, and we're so thankful for that. Had some good news on Dennis Fink. His treatments have been successful so far, and we're very thankful for that. And Isla Lehman, the little girl we've been praying for, she came through her surgery okay. But there are still many others that we need to continue to pray for and think about, help as best we can. We need to make sure that in the coming year that we're there for each other. This is an unusual occurrence where you have the first day of the year on the first day of the week. Happens ever so often, I guess. But to start out the year focused on spiritual things by coming to church, singing, praying, wonderful thoughts expressed here this morning, I thought about what it was that I wanted to talk about. And I decided to talk about this passage in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, a narrow gate and a narrow way. In the coming year, are you going to walk the narrow way? Am I going to walk the narrow way? If you haven't started, are you going to start? Are you going to enter that gate and walk that narrow way? I want you to think about this for a few moments with me this morning. Think about what our Lord is talking about when he says these words. Read them with me. Matthew 7 and verse 13, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Jesus had the tremendous capacity to say a lot in a few simple words. And it's up to us to think about those words and think about what they mean and how they might be applied. What I want you to think about for a few moments before we begin looking at these particular words is the setting of them in the Sermon on the Mount. So very often when I preach a sermon, it's about a specific thing. And that's one of the compliments I've gotten in my life is, "Your sermons are about something." Yeah, I try to make them about something in particular, you know, and usually it's the title. It's right there at the beginning. All you gotta do is look at the title. But every once in a while, I'll get somebody who says, "You remember that sermon you preached about elephants?" "No, I don't." "You know, the elephant sermon." "No, I don't remember. Don't remember the elephant sermon." "No, it was about it." And what it was is I had used a particular illustration in that sermon, which wasn't about elephants at all. But you know, that's what sticks in somebody's head. Something in a sermon sticks in their head, and that's what they remember, and you know, that's what the sermon is about. Well, this whole sermon that Jesus preaches is about something. And the narrow gate is just an illustration. It's just a part of that sermon to make a point. And the point that Jesus is making is that you have a choice. There are qualities of life that are true of a person who's in the kingdom of heaven. That's what the whole sermon's about. The nature and an attitude, an approach of a person who is truly influenced by heaven. If you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven and ruled by heaven, if heaven is ruling in your heart, this is the way you're going to think and this is the way you're going to act. That's what the whole sermon's about. And here, Jesus is showing these two analogies, the analogy of the two ways and the two foundations at the end of the sermon, to show that you've got to choose. You're going to live this way, you're going to live that way. Are you going to build your life on my teaching, or are you not going to build your life on my teaching? I mean, these are the I usually end a sermon with the offer of a choice. How are you going to live your life? This way or that way? Because this is the nature of the choice that you're making. It's either narrow or wide, life or destruction. Here's the choice. You either build on my teaching or you don't. You build on my teaching, your life is going to thrive and survive and be spared. You don't build your life on my teaching. So it's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's making a point by using these analogies. That's how I want you to begin to think about these words now, about the two ways. Now let's talk about the two ways. Again, Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. The narrow gate. And it is a narrow gate. You know, sometimes we talk about the straight narrow or the straight way. It's not straight as in, you know, it goes without being crooked, or it's about like when you're in a boat and you go through a strait, it's narrow. It's that kind of straight, it's narrow. And in this context, Jesus probably has in mind either a gate for sheep or maybe perhaps for a house or for a passageway. And it's narrow. It's hard to get through. It's small. It's a small gate. And here's a pretty good illustration of that. A lot of times cities would have a narrow passageway to keep people out and then be well defended. And then you would have a narrow passageway that would go from that opening that would also be easy to defend. Or in cities, just like today, you've got broad streets and narrow streets. And especially in ancient cities, you would have broad avenues that people could walk on, and then you would have the ones between the houses. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, and we had shotgun houses, row after row after row of shotgun houses. And the shotgun house would be right next to each other, and the distance between them would be like 2 feet. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about. It's not the broad street, the wide avenue. It's the narrow little lane, the little passageway. That's the illustration that Jesus is using. And it's constricting. Squeezes you. It's hard to get through. It's hard to find. And that's really the idea. The gates represent a decision to pursue a way of life. Because you've got the way, but then you've got the beginning of the way. At the beginning of the way, you've got to enter in. You've got to make a decision of whether you're going to go in or not. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. That word enter is, again, an imperative verb. It's a command. It's a call. Enter it. There's a narrow way. Go into it. It's your decision. It's a decision you must make to go into it. Enter it. Enter the narrow way. The wide gate, many enter it. Many people make a choice. They make either a conscious choice or maybe a subconscious choice, or in many cases, no choice at all. They just happen to find themselves along with everybody else, where everybody else is going, doing the same things everybody else is doing. And why are you doing that? I don't know. Everybody else is. I don't know. I guess this seems like the way to go. You ever get in the hustle and bustle of a large crowd, like at a big sporting event or something, and there's no going anywhere else. Everybody's going the same direction. You'd have to fight to try to get out of that. And that's how most people find themselves. They enter into the broad way and almost without conscious choice. And yet, they did make a choice. You do have a choice. Our lives are not predestined. We choose the life we lead. The way you live your life, whether you're on the narrow way or the broad way, that's up to you. That's up to me. Nobody can force you. Nobody makes you do that. That's why Jesus lays it out there. He's laying out in this sermon a way to live your life. And it's a beautiful way. It's a wonderful way. But it's a narrow way. And you got to choose. You got to choose to enter it. You got to choose to follow it. That's your choice. You may not. Many don't. Even finding the right way is hard. It's challenging. It's hard. Jesus says, few are those who find it. Why is that? Why is it that few find the narrow way? The gate's small. The way is narrow. Well, we've all experienced this, haven't we? You know, you're trying to find a place. And you're driving around, you're looking, you're checking your address, you're looking on the phone, you know, you're supposed to be paying attention to driving, but, you know, where is this place? And you pass it up. And then you come back and you say, I didn't see it. And you pass it up again because you can't. And it turns out it's just a small little place, tucked away. The turn wasn't well marked. You didn't see it. Jesus is saying the nature of this way that you need to live your life, it may not be completely obvious to you. You've got to put some effort into this. And there's a passage that kind of explains this, that entering it this way, few are those who find it, entering it is difficult. And down here in Luke chapter 13, and Jesus puts it this way, in this passage, Luke 13, 23, and someone said to him, Lord, are just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Think about what Jesus is saying there. This way that leads to life, it's not an easy way. It's not even easy to find. It's not easy to enter. It's hard. It's a challenge. This word that he uses, strive to enter by the narrow door. That word in the original language is the word from which we get agonize. Agoniste, to struggle, to contend, to fight. Now let me ask you a question. The choice that you made to lead the life that you lead, did you agonize over it? Did you struggle? Did you contend? Did you search? Like you would be searching for this one little way, this one little avenue, like the escape hatch or the one possibility. Is it that meaningful to you? Because if all you're doing is just what feels right or easy or comfortable or convenient, I got to tell you, you're probably not, you're not in the right way. Agonize. Really? Yeah. Strive. And then these words, because I'm telling you, a lot of people are going to seek and they won't be able. What do you think Jesus means by that? Well, here's the deal. Even if you find it, even if you find the narrow gate, the small gate, and you realize what it is or have some inkling of what it is, it's still not an easy choice. It's challenging to squeeze through that passageway and to stay in there. It's not easy. When I was a kid, I would get up to all kinds of, and it amazes me that my mom and dad didn't know what I was up to. The things I would climb, the things I would jump off of, things that I would sneak into, it was crazy. And one of the craziest things I ever did, they built this overpass in our neighborhood, interstate overpass right close to our house. And they built this bridge across like four lanes, the major artery, concrete bridge. And this bridge was like 20 feet tall off of the road beneath. And at either end of this bridge, there was a concrete wall underneath and a little ledge, just a little tiny ledge, maybe just like this wide, that ran underneath that bridge from one end to the other, underneath. And on this ledge, there were these steel braces. And between the inner portion of that ledge and that steel brace, there was a distance, I guess it was like 6 inches. Now, you may have a hard time believing this, but I squeezed through that. I weighed a little less than I do now. I squeezed through the first one, but there was two or three kids there, and I said, I think I can get through there. I squeezed through there, it was hard, and then I squeezed back out again. And then I said, you know, there's like 30 of these braces running along that ledge to the other side of that four lane. You know, I think I can get all the way to the other end. And my friend said, you can't do that. Don't ever tell a 10-year-old kid he can't do something. I said, well, I'm going to. And I squeezed through the first one, and I squeezed through the second one. It was hard, and I had to, and I was scraping my chest. But I was determined. I was going to get through there. And I got about halfway across, and I got to one I could not get through. And then I tried to get back, and I couldn't get through that one. And my friends ran off. They went home. And I sat there for a while, and I said, you know what? They're going to be looking for me, and they're not going to be able to find me. And eventually, you know, when they take this bridge apart 100 years from now, they're going to find my body, and they're going to say, what was he thinking? What was this kid thinking? And I said, I don't want that to happen. I'm going to get out of here. And I just kept squeezing, and I finally got through that next one, and I got through the other side, and I never did that again. Now, the life of a Christian is squeezing and squeezing and getting through challenges and difficulties and heartaches and hardships and doing the right thing. Continuing to do the right thing. It's not easy to continue to do the right thing. And not a lot of people are willing to do that. But that's the point. Many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not. They can't bring themselves to do it. And the two ways, one's easy, the other's constrained, it's limiting. You can't do everything you want to do. A lot of things you can't do, a lot of things you have to do, and it's tough at times. The way is broad that leads to destruction. The broad way is easy. No limitations, no constrictions. Do what you want, say what you want. Go where you want. Please yourself. No problem. Easy peasy all day long. Now, a life of that kind of selfish and self-centered pursuits, it does eventually present some problems to you. But at every juncture, easy decisions follow easy decisions. You just do what you want. Do what you think. Say just whatever comes in your mind, just say it. So at each point, it's easy. The consequences are not so easy, but the decisions are easy. Broadway is easy. It just leads to destruction. And the way is narrow that leads to life. It's constricted. It's challenging. It has all kinds of challenges. Now, here's the deal about the squeezing through that. It kind of gives you claustrophobia a little bit. I don't get claustrophobia. Some people do. I could squeeze right through that, given physical limitations and everything. It wouldn't bother me. But it's not easy. One way is popular, the other is unpopular. I got to tell you, the life of a Christian, the attitude, mindset of a Christian, the decisions of a Christian are becoming even less popular by the day. in the wide world that we live in the country that we live in, it's not widely accepted. Are you willing to embrace the unpopular? Because you're going to have to. The way is broad. Many are those who enter by it. It's true. And the way is narrow. Few are those who find it. It's not popular. Few people are following that way of life. And even saying that's unpopular, even saying what Jesus has said, that not everybody's going to be saved. In fact, there's going to be a lot of people who aren't saved. In fact, the majority of people aren't going to be saved. You can't say that. You can't say things like that. Well, it's not me saying it. It's the person who's in a position to know what he's talking about. I want you to think about the life that Jesus lived. Did Jesus live a narrow life? Yes. A constrained life? Yes. A hard life? Yes. Making hard choices, selfless choices? Yes. That is the life that he lived. And it led right up to the very thing that we've celebrated this morning in taking the Lord's Supper. The thing that Jesus had to do to wedge open that narrow gate. He's the one who made the hardest choice of all to make even a little space that can be gotten through. And he's telling us this is the way. You're going to ignore him? You're going to say, oh, well, that's crazy. Really? Because these two ways have decidedly different destinations. One's good and one is not good at all. Now, all of that is fairly straightforward and fairly simple to understand. The way is broad that leads to destruction. The way is narrow that leads to life. This is the truth. This is the reality. This is the light that Jesus is trying to show in our hearts. But I want to ask you a question. How does this fit into the Sermon on the Mount? Remember I said at the beginning, a lot of times people say, you know, they get something out of a sermon and it's just one little part. Well, the one little part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount about the narrow gate and the narrow way, how does that fit into the Sermon on the Mount? Because here's what I'm getting at. A lot of times we cite this passage, we cite this concept, the straight and narrow, and we use it and we apply it to what? Well, whatever. We apply it to something that at the moment is of interest or concern to us. We apply it to some doctrine or some point of religious discussion, or we apply it to some decision or choice, and that's good, that's okay. I just want you to think for a moment what Jesus is talking about in this sermon. And what Jesus is talking about in the sermon is a way of life. It constrains and puts a person in a position to make choices, and some difficult choices, such as the Beatitudes. You know, hungering and thirsting after righteousness and being merciful and think about the being of salt and having an influence on people's lives and being light instead of darkness and letting your light shine so that everybody can see that light. I want you to think about the statement that Jesus makes. You've got to be more righteous than the Pharisees. Are you kidding me? You've got to be more righteous than the Pharisees? The Pharisees are the most serious religious people that ever existed. They were so careful. They were so narrow, right? And Jesus says, you've got to be more narrow than them. And what, in what way do you have to be more narrow and more righteous than Pharisees? Because that's what's interesting about this whole sermon. The whole Sermon on the Mount presumes that you're already a religious person. Did you realize that? The whole Sermon on the Mount already assumes that you're trying, in some way, to be a religious person. And Jesus says, you know, I tell you, you know, you've been told don't kill people. I'm telling you, don't hate them. You've been told, you know, you shall not commit adultery. I'm telling you, don't even think that way about another person. You see what I'm talking about? Jesus is saying, you've got to understand that this way of life that I'm talking about, it's constricting in a lot of ways. It's constricting in good ways, in beautiful ways, in life-altering and life-enlightening and joyful ways, because it leads to life. Somebody slaps you. You know, do you do about that? It's hard. It's challenging. But, you know, instead of getting angry with that person, bless them, help them, be kind, be generous to them. Man, that's tough. That's the narrow way. Avoiding lust, rejecting divorce. You know, the Pharisees, you know, they asked Jesus, well, can a man get divorced for any cause? Jesus says, no, you can't do that. You got to care enough. And that's the moral abstract of this whole question. You know, we make it a rule of law. Well, there's law this or law that, or this is an exception. Do you care about that person? You care about what's going to happen to that person? Do you care about what's in your heart? I mean, it's a whole nother level of thinking about the way that you live your life and telling the truth. You know, someone says, well, you can swear this way, you can swear that way, or, you know, there's this loophole you can get through. Just tell the truth. Just be an honest person. It's restrictive. It's challenging at times to just tell the truth, but do it. That's the narrow way. Are not taking revenge. Not taking revenge on somebody. That's tough. Or going the second mile. You know, you've already gone out of your way. You've already helped this person. You've already done everything that anybody could possibly expect you to do. You've already been a religious, a good citizen. You've already done your duty. You've already been responsible. And Jesus says, go another mile. That's the narrow way. Giving in secret. Again, here, these people are already giving. They're already being generous. They're already contributing. And Jesus is saying, let's take it up a notch. What's that guy who has that cooking show? Bam! Hit it with some more spice. Do it without anybody knowing. You mean I don't even get credit for it? Oh, yeah, you get credit. You get credit with God. Wow. Forgiving other people. Are you willing to forgive them? I mean, really forgive them. I mean, not say I forgive you, not say, oh, actually forgive them. Have no animosity, no ill will, no hard feelings. Just forgive them. That's tough. That's the narrow way. Living for God instead of things. You know, the thing about this life is there's so many things to be taken care of, to be worked for, to be sought after, to be accumulated, to be protected. And yet none of that is what life is about. And Jesus is saying, you know, where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. And where your heart is, needs to be narrow. You need to refine and confine what you really care about. And it needs to be spiritual things, and it needs to be people, and where your soul is going and where their souls are going. And that's the narrow way. It's challenging. And not judging others. It's very hard not to judge others. It's very hard to do that. Because we have so many opportunities to do it. It's so often that people do things that really bring out our judging behavior. And not following false prophets. Yeah, you can lie. Absolutely. Jesus says, beware of the false prophet in sheep's clothing. You know, the narrow way requires carefulness in your religious beliefs and practices. It does. And it's challenging. And it's not the kind of thing that appeals to a lot of people because, you know, it involves study, it involves reflection, it involves judging, you know, looking underneath that wool and seeing a wolf and saying, that's a wolf. So much easier to say, oh, he's fine, he's okay, he looks like a sheep. No. Challenging. All of these things are challenging. In conclusion, I don't think this thing's working right. Have you made a determined effort to find the small gate? Have you made a determined effort? Because Jesus is saying, you got to strive. You've got to agonize. You've got to really put yourself into finding what is this way? What is this way that leads to life? Because most people don't. And they easily find the broad way that leads to destruction. No problem. You got to agonize over it. Are you agonizing over it? In the coming new year, are you going to put effort into finding that small gate? Are you going to make the choice to squeeze through it into the narrow way and continue to make those choices one after the other? To squeeze through, to get to the other side. Now these choices are not arbitrary. They are the way that leads to life. And Jesus is trying to share that with us in the Sermon on the Mount, and all of His teaching about the kind of thinking, the kind of attitude, the kind of choice and life decisions. Have you made the hard choice to squeeze through it? Are you walking the narrow and constrained path? Are we doing that? Are we going to do that in the coming year, brethren? Because there are distinctly different destinations. And we want to be on that narrow path. Oh man, that's why we are here this morning. We are seeking and striving the narrow path that leads to life. If you're not on that path, you need to enter it. You need to. And it may involve some difficult choices and some sacrifices. And I'm not going to try to conceal that from you. It's the reality. It's a loving thing that Jesus shares with us when He says, strive, enter by the narrow gate. The gate's small, but you can do it. And that's the positive aspect of this whole thing. Is it, you can do it. It's not predestined. It's within your capacity to choose the narrow way and to get through it. Lord help you. He'll get you through to the other side. He'll get you in. He will. But you got to make that choice. And it begins. It begins with a narrow gate. And a narrow gate for you this morning, if you're not a Christian, is to proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ and turn away from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning. You that narrow way, it's a good way. And if you've gotten off the path and you've gotten back in the broad way because it was easy, and you know this morning you need to make a hard decision and say, Lord, I've been unfaithful. I need to get back in the service. I need to get back on that narrow way. And you know you need to do that in a public way. If either of those things apply to you, that's a decision you need to make right now, this morning. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.